And we're back with another episode of the Brother Sister Rewatch. I am Kevin. I'm here with Mary, my sister and co-pilot. How are you?
Doing good, Kev. How about you?
I'm okay. We're on a quick turnaround this week. We are recording on a Monday afternoon. It's dark and stormy and not very July, but that's a perfect day for podcasting. So anyway, today we're doing Season 2, Episode 13, The Secret.
The Secret.
And Episode 14, The Carpet. But first, do you want to do a wrap-up of what we did last week? Kind of a, you know, fill everybody in on what they missed?
Definitely. Last week, we reviewed Booze Cruise and also the episode The Injury. So Booze Cruise was Michael's idea at motivating his staff, and he got them a Booze Cruise on Lake Wallenpaupack.
Yeah.
Michael tried to basically, he failed again at being a good manager.
Yep.
Pam and Roy set a date for their wedding after 3 years. Jim broke up with Purse Girl. And he told Michael that he had a crush on Pam.
That's the proper verbiage, yes.
That is. And then we go to the injury where Michael burned his foot on a George Foreman grill trying to cook bacon for himself to wake up to. And basically just Michael Scott being a man-child throughout the entire episode. Didn't really touch on the whole, you know, secret.
It was all comedy. That's what I loved about it. For a show that's pitched as a comedy, a half hour, like, you know, the next, what's the word I'm looking for? Evolution of the sitcom. Yes. You know, that was a breath of fresh air, and I loved it very much.
Dwight also got a concussion. Him and Pam were friends for about 6 hours.
Yes.
So, you know, that's where we're at.
That's where we're at coming up to The Secret, right?
Yes, The Secret. Now, I'm going to take charge here.
Go for it.
Episode 13, The Secret. It opens with a cold open of Jim telling the punchline to a joke to Pam, and she's just laughing. How did I fall for that? Michael walks in, and he sees them laughing and automatically just starts laughing like, oh, I'm involved in this joke. And he's just trying to include himself. So Jim finally tells him the joke, and he goes, is it me or does it smell like Up Dog in here? Michael falls for it. Yeah. What's up, dog? Nothing. What's up with you? Michael's eyes light up.
He has a new discovery.
And he's just like, oh my God, I can use this on people. So basically it's just, you know, him walking around the office. He tries it on Stanley. Like, oh, is it me or is that coat made of Up Dog? So he's trying his own variations on it.
Yeah.
Stanley's not having it.
No.
He tries it on Kevin, and Kevin's like, what does that mean? Just deadpan.
Yeah, no idea.
Of course he bungles it. Like, it's Michael Scott. Mm-hmm. He can't even tell a joke right.
No.
So then Dwight is finally the only one who falls for it, and Michael, instead of saying the punchline, is just like, gotcha!
Yeah, he just fucks
it up. He gets so excited that he finally got somebody that he just fucks it up. So, it's spring cleaning day, but it's January, and he says something along the lines of, well, why do it during spring cleaning during spring? Because if you do it now, you can do nothing during spring, which is such a great
He's such a philosophizer.
Contrast. It's such a great contrast from when he was trying to motivate his team two episodes ago.
Be lazy now.
So, Dwight's handing out all of the assignments. And he's telling everybody what, like, Meredith has to exchange the urinal cakes in the men's room.
Because they're worn down.
Yeah.
A lot of guys aiming for the urinal cakes.
Do they not have cleaners, like janitors in this office? And then he gets to Oscar.
Yeah.
And Angela goes, Oscar's out sick. And Dwight and Angela have a moment where they're like,
eye contact.
This is unacceptable. I agree, it's unacceptable. And they kind of just, like, share this sultry stare at each other, like, oh, you understand me. And Kevin's just like, what is happening? Right like, just speaks out loud to them, and they break eye contact, and they just walk away from each other.
Mm-hmm.
Kevin's like, what the fuck was that? So Dwight immediately has to tell Michael that Oscar's out sick.
He's a narc.
On a Friday.
He's a narc.
Now, I don't know about you, Kev, but in January, that's not the time I want to use my call-offs.
Well, it depends what you have. Like, you're not going to go do outdoor activities.
Yeah.
But if you have something to do or a place to be, I mean, you'd use it.
I guess. But it's usually, like, 20 degrees in January.
Yeah, it's not pleasant at all. No.
You're not, unless you're a skier or a snowboarder, there's really not much
mm-hmm.
you can take a day off to
well,
do.
Well, and it, Oh, never mind. I'll get to it later.
Okay. So Michael and Dwight decide to call Oscar to check to see if he's actually sick. And Michael goes, oh, you know, it's cleaning day here, Oscar. Could have used some of that famous Hispanic cleaning ethic. They show Ryan, who's on the floor in Michael's office organizing something. He's just pure mortified. That's like, awful. Just like, why the fuck do I work here? Like, how could you say that to another human being? So then we go, sorry, I lost my place.
No, you're fine.
So Dwight, that's what it is. They call Oscar, and Dwight, out loud, like not even whispering, it's just like, ask him what his symptoms are. I'm on WebMD. Like, I'll check and verify the symptoms.
Such a sleuth.
Right? So they get off the call because everything checks out. Like, his chills, his head is killing him, blah, blah, blah. So Michael's like, well, he sounded sick. Dwight, you need to investigate this if he's actually sick. Which, as a volunteer sheriff's deputy, Dwight takes very seriously.
Well, Michael also told him to drop everything he's doing, that this takes precedent. Yeah. So this is a big deal that they want to hunt down Oscar to see if he's really sick.
My God. Talk about waste of...
Resources.
So then we go over to Pam's desk, and she's talking to Kelly about her wedding, because they finally set a date. Mm-hmm. She says how she bought a veil already, and Kelly immediately, can I be your bridesmaid?
Very direct, yeah.
Now, as a bride within the last year, that actually does happen. People ask to be in your wedding.
No, they don't.
Awkwardly enough, it
does. Do you think that's a female thing? Or do you,
I can't imagine guys
I know coming up and be like, yo, I'm going to be a groomsman, right?
No. Which is so opposite for me, because I'm like, thank God none of my friends are married yet, because I don't have to spend all that money on their weddings.
Boom. Yeah.
Like, I mean, I see on Facebook, some people I graduated with earned like 7 weddings this year. And I'm like, God bless your pocketbook. Just sucks to have that many friends.
Like somebody I know. My girlfriend. Just going to throw that one out there.
Yep. She's going to have a 27 dresses wedding. Everybody's going to be wearing her bridesmaid's dresses.
She doesn't listen to the podcast. It's okay.
So...
they're talking about the wedding
Pam's
stuff.
Pam's just kind of like, she doesn't know what to say. So Kelly's like, all right, you don't have to answer now. But anyway, what are you going to do with your hair? Mm-hmm. So now Pam always has her hair at least halfway pulled back.
Yeah.
So she brings her hair down out of her clip, and she's like, oh, I was thinking like big loose waves. And Michael walks out as she's doing this.
I will say, she does look pretty striking when she lowers the hair.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different take, because she wears her hair the same way every day.
Every day.
So it's a different take on Pam that you don't usually see. And she looks nice.
Absolutely. But Michael's inappropriate.
Oh, he's very inappropriate.
He goes, wowee, Mikey likey. Which is probably the creepiest thing I've heard Michael say Mikey, so far. And he's like, oh, your hair looks sexier like that. You should wear it like that all the time. And Pam's just like... putting my hair back
she just
up
puts
now.
It up and puts her eyes down.
Yes. So then Michael walks past Jim, and he's like, oh, this must be torture for you.
What a dick.
And then Jim just looks at the camera with so much concern. He's like, fuck, I told Michael about my crush that I used to have.
Wink, wink.
So Michael, or Jim goes to talk to Michael, and Michael's, he's like, just don't say anything. Like, nobody else knows.
In the nicest possible way, he's trying to say, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. And he's like, listen, nobody else knows. Like, we don't need to talk about it. Then we go to a talking head of Michael.
Yeah.
Who's saying about what great friends him and Jim are. And how he didn't tell anybody else. They hang out outside or inside work all the time. And that he will not tell the secret as long as he possibly can.
Yeah.
Which means...
what a nice little ending there.
Which means he's going to spill the beans.
Yeah, and he knows it. He's well aware that he's going
to.
He's like,
I can't hold this in. It's going to happen. So then we get a quick snippet of Dwight basically telling Ryan, like, are you man enough to handle cleaning duty and handing out these assignments? And Ryan's like, I think I am.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sure, dude. So Michael and Jim are in the break room. Like, Jim is just trying to go about his day.
Just trying
getting
to get a soda.
Yeah. And Michael's just, like, super making it awkward. Like, oh, are we going to talk about the PAM situation? And Stanley's in the break room with them.
Yep.
And, like, Jim's just like, I'm going back to my desk now. Like, leave me the fuck alone, dude. So then we go back, and Dwight is just continuously calling Oscar's home phone.
Yeah.
Like, I called you 6 minutes ago, and you weren't there. Where are you? And he's like, oh, you're well enough to go to the pharmacy and not come into work. Then we got a talking head of Dwight saying, as a sheriff deputy, a volunteer sheriff deputy. He knows how to tell if a perp is lying.
A perp.
A perp.
I know. It's just funny that Oscar just called off of work and he's a perp now.
He's a perp now. They avoid eye contact. They cover part of their face, most likely their mouth, with their hand, and they perspire. But since he talked to Oscar on the phone, he couldn't tell any of those things. So we go back, and Michael is again trying to be, like, funny and chummy with Jim.
Oh, God, it's the... Well, he comes out, and he's drinking the same soda Jim was drinking.
The grape soda.
Grape soda!
Yeah, Tony the Tiger. I haven't heard that in a while.
It's hilarious.
So, Dwight obviously suspects something. He comes up, and he's like, Michael, something's going on. One, you never drink grape soda, and two, you never talk to Jim.
Yep.
And Michael's, like, trying to defend himself. He's like, I love grape soda. And me and Jim are friends. We tell each other secrets.
Yeah.
And Dwight immediately, what secret?
Yeah.
Just like hops on it. Like, Michael, you're terrible.
Like they're at a slumber party playing Truth or Dare.
So then Jim quickly covers and he's like, oh, it's about the Oscar investigation. I wanted to do it. But Michael said only you could do it.
Yeah.
To your level of expertise or something along those lines.
Yeah, he feeds Dwight's ego to get him off the trail.
And it works.
Yeah, because Dwight's a great investigator.
It absolutely works. And like, he's like, Michael, is that true? And Michael's not looking at him. No. I'm pretty sure he covers his mouth at one point.
He's sweating.
And he's like, you know what? I can tell you're telling the truth. Despite all of these telltale signs he just reviewed, he trusts Michael that much.
Yep.
So Michael walks over to Jim's desk and he's like, hey, you wanna get some lunch? You wanna go get some lunch? Jim's not about it. He's like, no, I have my lunch. I'm just gonna eat here. And this, I love this. Hmm. Michael's like, oh, do you wanna have a picnic in the break room? Ordering some za, talk about you-know-who. And Jim's just like, nope, let's go out. We're going out. Okay.
I've only ever heard, like, three people use the term za. And a few of them were these guys in Colorado, like the stoner guys who moved out there just for the legal weed.
Oh, gotcha.
Yo, man, like, we should go rafting, get some za afterwards, man.
Right, and, like, I feel like only, like, and no offense to them, but stoners
if you keep listening to the podcast, we would appreciate it. Yeah. I'm not shitting on you, I'm just shitting on your vernacular.
We're just saying, you're the only ones we've ever heard say za.
Don't say za, please.
But I think you'd enjoy this podcast if you were a stoner. Just throwing that one out there.
Okay.
So anyway.
Yes.
Michael and Jim go out to lunch.
Yes.
They went to Hooters, which is not anywhere near Scranton.
We never had a Hooters. Never had a Hooters here.
But it's pretty funny that that's where Michael takes him to cheer him up.
Well, it's where he thinks, business should be conducted. Yes.
So Michael's like trying to goat Jim, like, order milk. He's like...
He's like a five-year-old again.
What's the best part of Hooters? The boobs and the wings. Like, just making inappropriate comments to the waitress. Yeah. Like, oh, how's your chicken breast? Can I get the chicken breast? Hold the chicken.
Yeah.
And she's just like, is that really what you want? Like, she's not having it at all.
Well, women like that, I feel bad for because they probably deal with that on a daily basis. Oh, especially in that job.
Like, multiple times a day at that job.
Yeah.
They're just trying to feed their kids, man. Go through college.
And
like,
they're built to serve at Hooters.
I guess.
they're just plying their wares.
Exactly.
You know?
So we go back to the office, and this got me. If you don't like people chewing with their mouths open, skip this part. Dwight is eating all of the black jelly beans out of Pam's little candy dispenser.
Yeah.
And he's chewing with his mouth open. His teeth are black.
It looks like he drank ink.
It does. And I get that that's the point. Like, he's supposed to come off as super obnoxious.
Yeah.
And it did. He did a great job. And so he's asking, he's like interrogating Pam. Like,
yeah.
How did Oscar sound when he called off? And she's like, he sniffled. He sounded sick. Like, what kind of sniffle? Well, how many kinds are there? Pam's just like, what the fuck is wrong with this dude? So finally, she's just like, okay, out of three, it was a two. And he goes, that wasn't so hard. Now was it, Pam? So then we go back, and Michael is, like, asking Jim.
He's trying to get the
dirt.
What
attributes do you love, like about Pam?
Yeah.
And he's like, is it her boobs or legs or mouth or face?
He's only thinking about the things he could sexually assault.
And Jim's just like, she's easy to talk to, I guess. How about you? And Michael immediately, her boobs. And it's just, oh my God.
It's awesome.
And Jim is, like, so visibly uncomfortable right now.
Well, not only, yeah, because of the conversation and because of Hooters.
Exactly.
He's not a guy who would go to Hooters, you know? That's, like, something that Michael Scott would do, because Michael Scott is a man-child.
Exactly.
Because Michael Scott
thinks boobs are funny.
Yeah, well, he thinks his brand of comedy is poo-poo jokes.
Yeah.
So Hooters is perfect.
So then, all these waitresses come out and put this bib on Jim.
Yeah.
Because Michael said it was his birthday, so they start dancing and to the Hokey Pokey, by using their boobs.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's quintessential to Hooters or not.
I don't know. Tell us. I've never been, especially for my birthday.
Yes.
But Jim looked like absolutely happy during the. He was smiling.
He was actually laughing because yeah. I think like he was just like, this is so ridiculous. Like, I kind of have to enjoy myself. And just the pure joy on Michael's face.
Yeah, Michael's giddier. He's just like, yes, yes, yes.
Yes. So they go back to the office, and Dwight walks into Michael's office, and he's like, listen, I've spoken to everybody in the office about Oscar. And he goes, God damn it, Dwight. Just go to his house. I could have done this in 20 minutes. So then we get like a really dark talking head of Ryan. I could clean my desk out in 5 minutes, and nobody would ever know I was here. I'd forget I was here.
He so doesn't want to be in this work environment.
No.
But you think, okay, I don't know how temp agencies work. Can you request, like, to do something else?
No, not really. Like, you're kind of you have to accept your assignment.
Yeah, yeah.
But as long as they want you, like, that's steady income.
Okay.
So it's kind of like, you know, is the grass always greener?
So he's just kind of gritting his teeth and going with it all.
Yeah, like, hoping that this experience will do him well in the future.
Gotcha, he could put it on his resume.
Yeah, exactly. And Once he gets out of night school, Michael
will be a sparkling reference.
Exactly. But he has to put up with absurd bullshit every day.
Yeah.
So then we see Michael, like, again, the camera's, like, creeping in through the window.
Yeah, I like this.
And Michael's messing up his hair.
Yeah.
His very coiffed hair. And he's doing it so that he looks like Jim.
Yeah.
And he walks out and he gives a receipt from Hooters to Angela, telling her to expense it.
Yeah.
And Kevin, of all people... Is that a wig? I love his deadpan.
Oh.
And she's like, Angela's like, this is from Hooters. I'm not expensing this. Did Toby approve this? Then we go over to Toby because Michael's like, no, I didn't ask him. He's not the boss of me. And Toby's like, you just got your corporate card back, Michael. Do you really want me to take it back? So we get to talking to Michael, explaining how he spent $80 at a magic shop,
mm-hmm.
and he was trying to reason it. Like, it was for customers to improve, like, to impress them.
So we could get.
This guy almost bought stuff from us. I put a cigarette through a quarter. Like, he's getting really amped up about it. And so then he's like, all right, that's not going to work. Jim is really depressed. Like, he needed a lunch to go cheer him up.
Well, he doesn't say Jim's name. He says, I have a friend in the office.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And everybody's just like, what are you talking? Like,
or did he say Jim's name?
I don't know, because Toby.
Oh, you're right.
Like,
he did say Jim, yeah.
Then Toby's like, Jim seems fine to me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's like, listen, he's really messed up about a girl. He loves a girl he works with who's engaged. And Kelly's like, Pam?
Yeah, Kelly pops
And Michael just
it.
Drops his face and walks away without saying a fucking word.
He knew it was a matter of time. He didn't realize it would be that
like,
soon.
Like 4 hours later, not even. So then we see Phyllis and Angela quickly in the kitchen, like, oh,
gossiping.
Who'd you choose, Jim or Roy? And Angela's like, shuts it down, like, we shouldn't discuss it, but Roy. And then Kevin and Creed are talking about it, and he's like, oh, Jim's got a bad for Pam. And Creed's like, which one's Pam?
Creed's
I love.
Awesome.
And so then Kevin's like, Michael, who do you think, like, Pam should choose? And he goes, listen, the only people that this crush concerns is Jim and Pam and me, because I'm Jim's friend. So then Kelly comes up and she confronts Jim about not telling her how he felt about Pam.
Yeah.
And Jim's just like, fuck.
Cat's out of the bag.
Like, what in the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
So Jim confirms in a talking head, yeah, I used to have a crush on Pam. I don't anymore. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
So Pam, like, Kevin and Jim are talking about something on his desk. Pam walks by, and Kevin just goes, nice. She is so hot.
That's what a guy would do, like, when you're in math class and the answer turns out to be 69.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Jim is like, listen, I gotta do this before anybody else fucking tells Pam about this. Mm-hmm. So they're in the kitchen. Jim's like, listen, I used to have a crush on you when you first started, mm-hmm. but, you know, I don't anymore. That was like 3 years ago. So I'm totally over it. I just don't want you to hear it from somebody else.
But her eyes, you know, she's like, what? Jim did dig me, you know?
Yes.
Yeah.
But Pam, like, plays it off. She's like, you know, I suspected it, like, mm-hmm. when I first started 3 years ago. And Jim's like, listen, I'm totally over it, though. Like,
yeah, he kind of puts a bullet in it, sadly.
Right? Like, if only he was honest.
This was his chance.
But at the same time, everybody's eyes in the office are on him.
Who cares?
Yeah. So then, Dwight... It's dark at this point, mind you. Yeah, and mind you, in January, it gets dark at like 4 p.m.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's dark and he's still at Oscar's. And he shows up with another man. Oscar does. He pulls into the driveway.
And they get out of the car and he fixes the guy's hair. You know what I mean? Oh, yep. Did you forget something?
I did. I did have... Dwight was surveilling Oscar's house previously in the day,
mm-hmm.
talking about how he once trailed his ex-girlfriend who was cheating on with him with multiple men. Or women. Multiple men. It was multiple men.
It was. Oh, she was.
That
yes,
she was
yes,
cheating
yes.
on Dwight with.
Yes, yes.
Yes. So anyway, he's still there. But Oscar shows up and he pulls up into the driveway. And Oscar gets out and another gentleman walks out.
Yep.
And Dwight's just like, yeah, busted.
This is awesome.
Drives into the driveway.
From across the street.
And he's like, you're so busted. You have ice skates and you have shopping bags.
And that's what I was going to say before when he was like, oh, there's nothing to do except for snowboarding. And he was ice skating, which as this develops makes the most sense of all the winter sports.
And so this gentleman is like, who is this? And he goes, I'm Dwight. Who are you?
Mm.
And he goes, I'm Gil.
Gil.
And that's all we get from it is Gil.
Yep.
So Dwight's like, listen, or Oscar goes, are you going to tell Michael? Mm-hmm. He goes, only if you owe me a grand favor I can redeem at the time of my choosing. And
Oscar goes for it.
Oscar's like, all right, fine, fuck it.
Yeah.
So Mike
now, can I cut in? I just have a question. I don't know the series like you do. Do we ever get to see that favor redeemed? Is there, like, a future episode, like, it's just going to come out of the blue? Or no? Anything off the top of your head?
Not off the top of my head.
Well, then I'm going to track this. I'm going to make a note of this. And I'm going to be like, where is this grand design plan?
Okay.
All right.
So then Michael and Jim are talking, and Michael feels terribly... Basically, he knows he fucked up.
He starts crying.
He starts blaming Toby.
That's the best part. The best part. Fucking Toby.
It's Toby's fault. It's all his fault.
So awesome.
But he still wants to be friends. Like, Michael's like, are we still friends? Please tell me we're still friends.
It's all about friendship.
Right?
It's like Sesame Street.
And Jim's just like, yeah, Michael, we're still friends. Like, maybe it's better that it got out. I don't know. So then Ryan's walking around, checking to make sure, like, checking on everybody's progress with spring cleaning. And he goes, Creed, did you organize the menu binder? And Creed's like, oh, thought that was a volunteer thing. He goes, no, it was mandatory. And Creed just goes, huh, thought it was a volunteer thing. And turns his chair.
Yeah, just blows it off.
So then Pam and Michael's still crying. Okay, he tries to explain the situation on the booze cruise, and he's like, no, Pam, like, it was on the booze cruise that he had a crush on you.
Yeah.
And she goes, wait, did he have a crush on the booze cruise, or he told you about it on the booze cruise? And now Pam is confused, and she's like...
And this is when Michael is, like, finally like, I'm gonna shut up.
Fuck, yeah.
This is like, the time, of course, when, like, he could, like, plant the seeds for everything good to happen. No.
Nope. He just shuts it down.
Oh.
So, talking head of Michael, talking about... Oh.
We did forget one thing after Oscar.
Oh, yes. Okay.
So the camera goes back to, like, looking through the blinds.
Yeah, and at Oscar's home.
On Oscar's couch, it's Oscar, Dwight in the middle, and then Gil. And, like, Dwight's, like, watching something, and he's just like, oh!
He's got
laughing.
Popcorn. Yeah. He's fucking laughing his ass off.
He's having a great time. And then Oscar's, like, laughing, too, and he reaches over, and he holds Gil's hand. And then Dwight leans back, and he takes it back.
So
we know what this is. This isn't subtle.
It went completely over Dwight's head. Yep. Oscar's gay.
Mm-hmm. That's what Dwight says at one point.
He's
like,
very close with Gil.
When Dwight says, I found something out today. Oscar lied to Michael. He doesn't even get the fact. It all goes back to like Dwight not knowing what the clitoris is or whatever.
Yeah.
He's very naive.
The public school system failed him so terribly.
So he couldn't pick up on the signs that Oscar is a homosexual male.
Nope. But Michael goes into his talking head, talking about how secrets only lead to trouble.
Mm-hmm.
That he was watching Cinemax and Secrets of a Prostitute or the something. And then he goes, more Secrets of a Call Girl.
More Secrets. So that's a sequel.
Yes. And how the main character witnesses a murder and she has to go on the run. And how he doesn't want to go on the run. He wants to stay right here. And that's it.
That's it.
How we close it out.
That's folks. A wrap. That's a wrap on that one. So, what did you think?
I thought this one was... I really enjoy this one. I thought this one was a 3.7.
Exactly.
What?
Creepy.
Wah.
That's creepy.
That is really creepy.
The thing I liked about it is that, okay, so it keeps in line with what they've been doing in season two, where you'll get like two kind of serious episodes that aren't as comedy, and then you'll get two comedy episodes. Like it's like a roller coaster of what you're going to get.
Yeah.
And as far as like the more character-based shows, the ones that kind of just go with... what the people are doing or feelings and stuff like that.
Yeah, they interject other storylines in between, so it's not a continuous...
Oh, no, we had a few. We had Ryan as, like, the C storyline, Dwight checking out Oscar in the B storyline. So, like, everything, like, worked out. But, like, I think the thing that I liked most about this one is that we've said in the past some episodes that are like this, nothing happens.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, they go home. You know, like, shit happens, they go home. This one, like, I was, like, enthralled. I was like, where's it going? What's going to happen? What's Oscar doing? What's Pam and Jim going to do now that
Michael
let out?
When is Michael going to spill the secret?
Yeah, like, so the way they wrote it was really good, where it kept you engaged the entire time. And you, once again, you want to come back for more. You want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
What's going to happen?
Is Roy
going to attack Jim again? Are we ever going to get to that point, you know?
I really loved the involvement from the ensemble cast, though.
They were all in it, yeah.
Exactly. Even if it was just like a line or two, it was there, and I loved it.
So, what do you think about the Oscar stuff?
You know, it's a...
I think it's awesome.
It's relevant.
I think it's awesome.
I mean, at this point, you have to think, what, 2006?
Oh, I'm not even just talking about the gay stuff.
Oh.
I'm just talking about him as a character.
Oh, I love him as a character because he's like no bullshit. Like Dwight rolled up and he's like, "Are you gonna tell Michael or what?" Like, Jesus Christ!
It adds depth to it though because Oscar so far in the series has been kind of the fussy accountant, and that's like all you got. This adds an extra dimension to him. You're like, "Oh, hey!" So is this going to be revealed to the office? Is this going to be something that Michael fucks up because he's an inappropriate, politically incorrect jackass?
Like, I know, but we shall.
I don't.
See.
I have no clue. So. Well, maybe I do. See, I'm trying to think when everything happens, because I checked out after season three mostly.
Don't try.
Okay, but... So, like, that, like, adds, like, an extra, like, flavor to the show that I'm, like, interested in watching.
Yeah.
It's kind of like how we talked about Angela.
Yeah.
How Angela, like, broke out, and she's, like, got this awesome little segment of the show.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So, I was, like, stoked after that. I was like, oh, Oscar, man! Yeah.
Yep.
Fuck yeah.
I love how much more they're developing the ensemble cast.
Oh, yeah,
now.
They're all fleshing out now. It's
yes.
great. It's great stuff.
I really am enjoying it. I kind of wish we got more Bob Vance Refrigeration.
I'm sure that's
coming. We only got a taste of it so far.
Well, if I had my way, Todd Packer would be in every episode. So
he would overpower Michael. If
oh,
he
absolutely,
was in every episode.
Absolutely. But
he's a good little spice to throw in to kick it up a notch.
He's like Emerald. All right. Well, so do you want to talk about anything else, or do you think we're done with that one?
I'm good on that one,
all right.
Guys. If you have any additional thoughts on this one, though. Please make sure to reach out to us at brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Nailed it.
Or brosispodcast on Twitter.
That's right. Mare Bear here is like tearing up the Twitter right now.
Woo, she's Twitterverse.
She's
get
posting
ready.
Memes and pics and retweets and stuff of that nature.
Get ready, guys.
So get on there. And you know what? We'll be back with season 2, episode 14, The Carpet, right after this.
Welcome to Intermission.
Yeah, intermission.
Dance party.
So this week we don't have any feedback again.
Wah, wah.
We love all of you listeners, but you're letting us down in this department.
Come on, guys. We got to make our intermission a little bit more lively and spicy.
That's
we can
right.
only plug our email and Twitter so many times. But once again, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com. Brosis Podcast on Twitter.
At Brosis Podcast. Oh, at you Brosis always got to include that on the Twitter.
Really?
Yeah, you have to. Yeah, and you're the one running the account.
I mean, to tell people what it is, we know that it's going to be an at.
No, some people don't.
What?
Boomers, man.
Oh, boomers.
Don't
trust
them.
Hey, we love you too.
I don't know if any boomers listen, but if you do, thank you. But anyway, guys, so this is the segment of the show where we're putting ourselves over. So jump on there, get in touch with us. Questions, concerns, comments, even suggestions.
Yeah, suggestions.
Just bring it on.
I mean, like we said, you know, the little beginning thing there where we kind of rehash what we talked about last week, that was a suggestion.
Yeah.
We absolutely went with it.
I did get a piece of feedback from somebody in my life, an actual flesh and blood human being, not one of these internet people, who told me that I way overrated the injury when I gave it a perfect score.
I mean,
what, you think I overrated it?
You went
4.7, yeah.
You enjoyed it.
That was pure
so
comedy.
So I'm not telling anybody what they should judge it.
No, it was pure
I mean,
awesomeness.
You really enjoyed yourself, so I think I gave it, like a 4.7 or something. But,
mm-hmm.
I mean, was there room for improvement? Maybe, but in your eyes, you saw it as a 5.0.
Do you want to tell me I'm wrong? Send us an email, and we'll read it on air.
And we want to make a call out on our Twitter KitchenWinch45, at KitchenWinch45.
Yes.
Thank you for mentioning us when others ask for suggestions on podcasts.
Sharing the cast around.
We do see those mentions, those retweets, and those likes, so shout out to you.
Thanks to all of you. We really appreciate it. So hopefully you'll continue listening and not drop us like a bad habit. So anyway, let's get into the next episode.
The carpet.
All right.
We did not plan that, by the way.
That was creepy. Well, that's sibling intuition. That's what the show is about, you know. I mean, we lived with each other for decades of our lives, you know. So
majority. Yeah.
At this point it is a majority of our lives.
Yeah.
All right. So we open up, cold open. Ryan is filling in for Pam at the reception desk. And she's away on vacation. And all we see, Jim just keeps looking up.
Yeah,
because it's like, oh, he's used to Pam being there, so he's looking out, and Ryan, of course, is just like freaked out, like kind of
like,
weirded
what?
Out. Yeah, what, Jim? Like every time Jim looks up, he's like, what? Like he has no idea. So Ryan does a talking head where he's like, you know, it's whatever, it's kind of weird, but it's nothing compared to the way Michael stares at me. And the camera shows Ryan at the desk, and it pans over to Michael's the window in his office, and he's looking through the blinds, just staring at
like.
Him.
Intense staring.
Like
how you stare at your child or your dog when they fuck up.
Oh, he was mad at him?
No, but I mean like intense.
Oh.
Like
well,
you're in
passionate.
Public and you can't yell at somebody and you're like.
I got more of the vibe when like a couple is together in public and they're both feeling very randy. And you look
amorous.
At, you give them that smoldering look like,
God.
Oh, I can't wait till we get home. Like, that's the look he's giving to Ryan. Like, he's undressing him with his
but
eyes.
But then he notices the camera and he, like, looks away. He looks up into the air like, oh.
Creepy as fuck.
Yep.
So we, you know, get the opening. We come back. Pam's back at the desk and she explains that she's back from her vacation in the Poconos. Pocono Mountains. Now, that's a big tourist destination, actually.
It is, actually. But I love what she says, though. Like, oh, I try to wait as long as I possibly can, and we get 10 vacation days a year. I made it to the third week in January.
Yeah, she got the hell out of there.
Wow.
So Mike comes in, and he calls her Pamster.
Yes.
And he's, like, having a conversation with her. And as he's leaving...
Spamster.
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 I'm sorry.
It's okay.
So Mike's leaving the desk, and he goes, I'm Pam. Spicoli guy. Do you know what that is?
No.
So there's the movie I Am Sam, which is about a mentally challenged man.
Oh, my God.
You ever see that one with Sean Penn? He's like, I go IHOP. No?
Nope.
Well, Sean Penn plays a mentally...
challenged.
Mentally challenged man. And that's when he goes Spicoli guy, that because he doesn't know Sean Penn's name. So he's like,
oh, my God.
So he says, I am Pam Spicoli guy.
Jesus.
That's actually legitimately funny.
Oh, my God.
So he goes into his office, he opens the door, and he's just like, whoa, God! He, like, comes out.
He freaks.
There's this atrocious smell in the office. So Kevin comes over. He's like, Kevin, check it out. And Kevin goes in, and Mike shuts the
door. Yeah, he locks poor Kevin in there.
And Kevin's like banging on the door to get out. He's like, Mike, I can't hold my breath this long. So he comes
out. Everybody's like, let him out, yeah. Michael, let him out.
So everybody's gathered around. The camera shows this view of on Michael's carpet, but it's obscured by his desk.
By his desk.
What's it look like? It looks like a piece of raw meat or something.
It almost you only looks see like the shepherd's
edges.
Pie.
Yeah, you only see the edges of it in shepherd's pie.
It does.
But it's just obviously not something pleasant.
It's not vomit.
So everybody else goes in, like as a group, and they all immediately run away, run away. They all burp, they all come out. And,
oh no!
And Michael said, like, oh, pipe burst,
and left that there.
Yeah, and so
there's no water in the office.
Off that, we can assume that it's shit.
Yeah.
So everybody's like gathered around the office, like, what the fuck is this? And Creed walks in, and he just pleasantly just says, "Someone making soup."
Yep.
Hilarious.
My favorite. That poor cleaning woman, though.
Yeah, we go in and a cleaning lady is leaving, but it still smells.
Poor woman.
So we go to a talking head of Michael in his office, and he's struggling, and he's like, and he just runs out. He's like, I can't take it. I can't take it anymore.
So I love how Dwight, after the cleaning lady leaves and they test it out.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, she probably just scrubbed it into the fibers of the carpet. Like, oh, thanks for that detail. Thanks for the level of detail.
If anybody has cleaned poop off a rug, I'm just saying. He knows what he's talking about. So Jim enters the office. Good morning. Hey, Pam, you're back. Oh, my
Pam's
God.
Back. Yay.
And then he finds out what happened and he looks at the camera like, gulp. But then they do a talking head where he's like, it wasn't me.
Yeah.
I have no idea. And then we go to a talking head of Ryan.
Yo, Ryan's
laughing.
Dying.
He's like, ah!
It wasn't me, though. It wasn't me.
It wasn't me. He like gets serious. It really wasn't me. So
I kind of wish that they did a talking head of Toby there, though.
Oh, Toby would have been hilarious.
Like, if they added Toby and Toby was just like, man, it wasn't me, but I can't say he didn't have it coming.
It's disgusting. I hate to see that happen to Michael. So we get a view of Roy and Daryl. They're working in Mike's office.
Yeah, I like how he turned the warehouse workers into carpenters.
Well, it's like last episode when Dwight, he's like, drop everything and do this thing for me.
Yeah.
He got the warehouse guys to drop their actual jobs and come. They're working as carpenters for the day.
Yeah.
Tearing up the carpet and moving shit out.
Bandanas over their faces.
Oh, it's hilarious.
Jesus.
So Mike takes Jim's desk, because Jim was the last one in. And he tells Jim, like, oh, go to the back. Jim takes a desk in the back, which is, there's Toby. Strange mystery woman who shows up later. I don't know if you noticed. And Kelly. So Kelly doesn't have a desk. There's an empty desk next to her. And she's all excited that she has company because Toby used to sit there. But he had an allergy to the desk and had to move.
Yep.
So what we're getting right now is we talked about Oscar
Nobody
and Angela.
Nobody wants to sit by Kelly.
Kelly was starting to get is like a valley girl almost.
Yep.
Like blah, 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 blah.
Like,
oh,
I mean,
God.
Last episode she was asking Pam to be a bridesmaid. Mm-hmm. Like asking her all about the wedding. Like, and it's such a stark contrast to think back to cultural diversity.
Yeah, the
our
second
first
episode,
time seeing
yeah.
Kelly Kapoor. She was dressed as a businesswoman,
yeah.
Very professional.
Yeah.
Her hair was up in a bun.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, oh, I have calls I have to do.
Yeah.
And now she's like, oh my God, everybody.
And she's like dressed in like bright colors and
very
everything.
Very bright colors.
Yeah, it's definitely, they're definitely know where they're going with this character.
The
now.
Blush is on Kelly Kapoor's cheeks. We'll just say that.
So Mike and Dwight are like, because Mike's at Jim's desk, they kick up their feet and they're like, oh yeah, back in the bullpen. Mike's talking about how he used to work sales and how these guys have it easy now and everything like that. And he talks about his old manager in a talking head. He talks about Ed Truck, which is just a hilarious name. I have no idea why, but Ed Truck. And they show a picture while Michael's talking of him with his manager, and they're shaking hands. Like, Ed Truck is in a suit, resplendent, looking like a dapper manager, and Michael is wearing a short sleeve dress shirt
with a
mullet, yes,
and a fanny pack.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's amazing because you have to think, like, wait, he's only worked here for what, 13 years at this point?
Yeah, so he was rocking the mullet. Well, 2006, 93 was mullet territory.
Really,
Achy Breaky Heart came out around that time.
Yeah, okay.
No,
I was trying to like think of the timeline. I'm like, was he just that out of touch with reality?
As someone who grew up watching professional wrestling in that time, everybody had a mullet and they all wore fanny packs.
Never mind, you're right.
So, we get a view into Mike's psyche here as he starts talking about Ed Truck, the old manager, about how he'd be trying to have fun in the office and then Ed would walk by and they'd pretend to work. And he never wanted that kind to be that kind of manager. Mm-hmm. He wanted to be the kind of guy that everybody's happy to see and they applaud when he walks away. Like so you kind of get into Michael's, like, this is why he wants to be that kind of manager and be friends and everything.
Now, Packer is brought up.
Oh, I'm going to get to that. Okay. I got a whole bunch
of
stuff.
I want to make sure we don't skip Packer.
Well, we jump to the back, and Kelly is at her desk, turned around completely, not doing any work.
No, and she's customer service. Yeah. So she gives, listen, I used to work in a call center for customer service. That is not how it is. Just saying.
Well, paper company is different than what you did, though.
Yeah, I mean.
But she's just going, she's like, Beyonce this, and oh my god. Like, she's just talking about pop culture shit, and snow cones at one point. I don't even know what she's talking about. She's going a mile a minute.
And Jim is just, like, literally ready to, like, bash his head in on the desk.
Oh, yeah, he's just ignoring her, staring straight ahead. Yeah. And the thing is, like, I don't know what to make of it yet, because when you see Kelly like this, she obviously is alone for all of the day,
all of the office time.
So, like, she sees people on break and that. So you can kind of get why she'd be a chatty Kathy.
Listen,
you know?
I'm okay.
Personal, here it comes.
I work from home, so
she's exactly like that.
I don't interact with a lot of people except for on conference calls. So whenever somebody comes over the house, or like my husband's band will come over and practice, like, I just love being around other people. Where before, when I worked in the office, I was like, get me the fuck home so I don't have to talk to anybody anymore. Now she's like,
you guys are all over here? Oh my god, let me tell you what about that Meg, that stupid bitch. Let me tell you what she said.
Oh, stop it. That is not true at all. No, Meg, well, I love you.
She means it in a loving way, because apparently women get away with calling their friends slut, bitch, hoe.
Men get away with calling their friends assholes.
Exactly.
But they are.
I'm not questioning their sexual promiscuity.
So anyway.
Now Mary here, you come over the house. Oh my god, let me tell you this. Oh my god, do you want me to make cookies? I'll make you cookies. Never mind, I'm on keto now. Oh. Oh, come on.
I can see where all the joy in life is in this family, and it's in me, not in Kevin.
You're not wrong. I come over here. Why do you think
that
I
picked... talking head right there, guys.
out of all of my siblings, why do you think I picked this ray of sunshine?
Hey-o.
So...
anyway, back
this is
to
what you
episode.
Talked about before. Michael is doing a talking head about rocking the office with Todd Packer back in the day. And he's in the conference room now because his office is under construction.
Yes.
And I don't know if this was on purpose or if it happened and they just left it in.
Yeah.
He's talking about Todd Packer and a picture just falls off the wall. And he just turns around like, ah! And it reminded me, I'm going to bring it up again, wrestling. Back in like the late 80s, they had a pay-per-view. And the guy was doing the interview backstage, and like they had a logo on the wall, and it just fell down. And you know Mean Gene Okerlund, right?
Yep.
He just turned around live on pay-per-view and said, fuck it! That's exactly what I thought about. This picture just falls out, and Michael turns around like, fuck it! So Mike is talking about Todd Packer, and how they spent a whole day one time with their pants off.
Yeah.
And they tried to convince everyone else that they were crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarious.
That just gives you an insight into that friendship.
Well, then... As Mike is talking, they show him going around the office annoying people. Mm-hmm. And he goes up to Stanley and does a Wimpy impression. You know Wimpy from Popeye?
Yes.
That's when he says, I will gladly take a burger today and pay you tomorrow. That's Wimpy
That's
from Popeye.
That's what that is?
That's what that was. And of course, Stanley's like, I am on the phone. Leave me alone.
What do you need right now?
So then Michael goes over to Creed and punches him in the arm.
Yeah.
And he's just like, Charlie Horse.
Creed's like, what the fuck?
Oh, Creed is hilarious. He's like, Michael, why did you hit me? He's like totally offended. Like, oh, it's freaking great. So Michael's still telling stories about Packer. And he talks about the time him and Packer gave a guy a swirly for over a minute. And then they're like, good thing we didn't hire that guy anyway.
Oh, my God.
So this was a guy who was just there for, like, an interview. And then there's the one time. Okay, this is a quote. One time, as a joke, Packer banged every chick in the office. And then he just snickers and goes, hilarious.
Yeah, like, what the fuck? How is that a joke?
And the best part is, like, when you think about it, like, Packer is the most unappealing human in the world. But, like, all these chicks are just taking their panties off for him.
My
it's hilarious.
God.
So then we go, and we get Kelly prattling on in the office. Blah, 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 blah. Ryan comes in, and he asks Jim, like, a question for Michael. It's a dumbass.
How to put your chair up higher.
Oh, yeah, that's right. And Jim's like, the little lever on the side. And of course, Ryan's just like, oh, yeah, that's what I told him. He's an idiot, basically. So Ryan leaves, and Kelly immediately, oh, my God, he's so cute.
Yep.
And she wants Jim.
Would you talk to him for me? Would you talk to him for me?
She wants Jim to talk to Ryan. Jim
because
says
we're in
no.
elementary school.
Jim says no. And then, but then she's like, please, Jim, like, she just beats him into submission, essentially. Yeah. So
it's a good move.
Mike is sitting at the desk with Dwight, and you can tell he's bored. He's like, what does he say? He's like, let's go
do a raid on accounting.
Follow my lead. And they just go over to accounting. And they just start yelling and throwing shit on the ground.
They look like fucking monkeys in the zoo when they get go insane from being in captivity and start throwing their shit around.
They just go, ah! And they're just throwing folders. They're ripping files off the filing cabinet.
Yeah.
They're throwing shit all around, kicking stuff. And then Dwight goes to Angela, who stares at him. He just picks up a pencil and drops it and runs away. So I think at one point they say, sales rule, accounting drools.
Yes.
And they start dancing, like, woo, yep. Woo.
Like goading them, essentially.
It's just like ridiculous shit. Like little toddlers. We get a talking head of Oscar after this because he's one of the accounting guys. And he's giggling about Michael's office. He's like, ha ha, it wasn't me. Like he just says it wasn't me.
It wasn't me.
So Mike, talking head, he doesn't understand the carpet issue. He says he hates the cleaning lady.
Yes!
Why does he hate the cleaning lady?
I have no... He's like, you know, maybe somebody did it to her because I know I hate her. Like, she did nothing.
She tried to clean it up. She just rubbed it into the fibers of the carpet. Then we get clips of Roy and Daryl ripping up the carpet while Mike refers to what happened as terrorism.
Yes!
It was a terrorist attack on the office. God. Then we go out back to the bullpen. And Dwight is calling Rock 107 to win a box set. Woo! And he's calling up asking, am I the 107th caller? And hangs up and he keeps calling over and over.
Which is how they actually run their contests.
Yes. Rock 107, for those not in the know, started off as a legitimate rock station in the 60s and 70s, I would assume, where they played current hits like Led Zeppelin and The Who and Jimi Hendrix and Deep Purple or some shit.
Yeah, Cream.
And they still play all of those, except they brand themselves as classic rock now.
Yes.
Yes.
So it's old reliable. When there's nothing on, you can turn on Rock 107.
Yeah, you're bound to hear something that you've heard a million times before. Anyway,
not sponsored by Rock 107.
Yeah, we are not going to get sponsored by them. Jim is in the break room, and he's watching Roy and Pam flirt out at the... and he's like, oh.
Now you have sad to remember, Jim has been waiting for Pam to come back from vacation.
Yeah. And so he's gotten like a week without her. He's all excited. Now he's like separated in the office from her. So
of course he's sad. He wants to go and see his friend.
Okay. Michael now is going to start a game, if you will, a challenge, where he tells everybody in sales that he's going to put up $100 of his own money.
Crisp $100 bill.
And he pulls out and he only has $83 in his wallet. And he says the number one person in sales for the day gets the money. And he's taking Jim's spot because Jim isn't there today. Jim is there. Jim is working.
But he says, out of sight, out of the contest.
Yes. So he's going to go put it on a plaque between his office and the conference room on the wall. And Roy and Daryl walk past him and goes, nah, this isn't the place for it.
Yep.
And he puts it in a clip and puts it on his computer.
Which Pam is just like, fuck you.
Mm-hmm. So everything there, that's what's going on. And of course, Dwight, though, because he loves Michael so much, he joyfully says, Mike's going to wipe the floor with us.
Yep.
It's hilarious. So now, now we go back. Everybody is in the break room enjoying lunch. It's a big party. And Jim is about to go in, and he sees Pam and Roy talking at a full table, and he's like, no.
Eeyore.
So he turns around, and he's going to go back to his place, but then he sees Kelly talking to the woman who I can only presume at this point is Marjorie.
It's got to be Marjorie.
Whoever, they mentioned her one time and now this strange woman. She's there. And Kelly's talking to her. And so Jim does the sensible thing. He takes his bagged lunch and goes in the men's room.
Poor man.
It's so hilarious.
Poor man.
Now, Michael is making sales. And to quote Steve Buscemi's character in Airheads, he's acting like a dick smoke. He gets up, he makes a sale, he's like punching the air. Yeah. They have a graph set up with Stanley, Phyllis, Dwight, and Michael to track sales. And he's dancing, but Roy and Daryl mock his dancing.
Well, you also forget where he put the post-it note with the sale on it on Phyllis's forehead.
Yes.
It was like, look at me, Phyllis, look at me.
And because Michael is so insecure, he did the thing again where somebody makes fun of him and he lashes out. So Roy and Daryl make fun of his dancing. And he basically says, and what's taking you guys so long to replace this carpet? If this was Extreme Makeover Home Edition, you'd be fired.
Yep. They build a house in 1 hour.
Mm-hmm. So, Pam, we get a talking head of her, and she says, somebody did something bad to Michael's carpet. That's all we need to know.
Yep.
So she, it's not a denial. Not a denial.
No.
Now the camera is peeking through the blinds into Michael's office, where we see Roy and Daryl drinking and sleeping. There's beer bottles everywhere.
Beer bottles.
They're like
all
passed
over.
Out, laying on the floor, not working at all.
Nope.
Now we see this shot is from the side of Michael's desk. So we get his face in profile, and behind him, focused on, are Creed and Oscar, making jokes about, oh, did you do it?
Oh, I
didn't.
Yeah,
They're talking about Michael's office, like who pooped in it. And Michael can hear.
No, I thought you did it.
And this is Michael gets all pissed off because he thinks, oh, it's a big joke to everybody. So he calls off the challenge. He takes his money back, and like you know, Pam's like, that's not fair. He's like, well, was it fair what happened to my office? Somebody crapped on my rug. He goes, that is a hate crime. Stanley knows about those.
Yep.
And Stanley, deadpan, of course, that was not a hate crime, Michael. Well, I hated it.
Yep.
so awesome. So Mike asks the guilty party to stand up. To come forward.
Get your punishment.
And everybody just looks around. He goes, then everybody's punished. Pam asks him, what's our punishment? He goes, time out. Nobody says a word. Everybody's quiet. Now he's running it like a daycare.
Yeah, and Phyllis gets a phone call
at
her desk. And he's like, nope, no, no.
Now we go back to the break room. Jim and Ryan meet up. And he asks Ryan, hey, you interested in Kelly? Yeah. And he's about to say something about her ass, did you notice, when he goes...
Yeah, he's like, yeah, I feel like a little bit more junk in the chin.
And then he looks at the camera and he's like, ah. But it turns out Ryan is very interested, but he's more into the hookup.
He doesn't want anything serious.
So now Jim is the go-between, because Ryan is like, will you find out what she's interested in for
me? Yeah, poor Jim. Yeah. This sucks.
So Jim goes back, and Kelly is prattling on, like... Well, I really want babies.
Of course, a serious relationship. Yeah. Get married, fall in love, have babies.
But then she said, but if he doesn't want that, don't tell him that. I could be a slut.
Yeah, she's like, but tell him I'm up for anything. Oh. Don't tell him any of that. You know, not that I'm a slut, but we'll see what happens.
So awesome. So then we go, and Mike is sitting alone in the break room, and Creed walks in. He's like, you remember Ed Truck? Of course, you know, Creed's like, oh, he hired me.
Yeah.
And Michael goes on about how he doesn't want to turn out. That's his biggest fear is becoming Ed Truck. And Creed tells him, you should have, like, bigger fears than just that.
Yeah.
And Mike's like, shut up. Like,
of course I have bigger fears, you know, like dying.
And Creed, again, he just treats Creed like crap.
Like shit.
But Creed, again, he just, like, smiles and walks away.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. So, we go outside. There's a dumpster with carpeting sticking out of it. And Mike comes up and he meets this older man. Turns out it's Ed Truck.
It is.
And like there's like this little small talk. And then Ed leans in. He's like, what's wrong with my pension?
So he led him to the office under the false pretense that this poor man's pension was in trouble.
Yes. And of course, Michael's like, oh, it's just a clerical error.
Yeah.
But he just wants to pick his brain here about...
Being a boss.
Being a boss and how people should see him. And Ed Truck tells him, like, they're never going to see you as a friend. You're the boss. Yeah. You got to separate. You have family is family. Friends are friends. Co-workers are co-workers and that. And Michael doesn't kind of believe that.
He's like, man, it doesn't have to be like that.
They can love me like a dad, which is really
weird.
He's like,
no. Yeah. No, they can't.
Yeah. But you see a little bit of him that's starting to doubt his belief in friendship with, you know, the workers and all that. So we go to a talking head, and he does seem defeated here, where he says, like, he won't give a kidney to these people.
Oh, yeah, they can go and get a monkey kidney.
Yeah, they get a monkey kidney. But, there was a little...
He, like, switched on his entire office, though. Like, he was saying, I love them like family, blah, blah, blah. But as soon as he thought one of them did that to him, he's like,
he becomes vindictive.
Fuck these people.
We talked about that other episode.
Yeah.
The one where they had, the Halloween, when they had to fire someone.
Yep.
And Pam, who is, like, his confidant and does all this shit for him, like, she says one thing to him. He's like, oh, well, you know, you just let it go to voicemail sometimes. Like, he's like, could fire her. The way you turned on Creed and, like, all that today.
Exactly.
So he's a guy who, when something doesn't go his way, he will snap on you.
Yeah.
So we go back, and Jim is calling a woman named Brenda for
a
date.
Do you know who Brenda is,
though? I have no clue.
Brenda from the Booze Cruise.
Oh, is that what I didn't put that together.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Good Jim, man. Yeah. But he's asking, he like sent her an email, and he's like, oh, you can find me on the corporate directory, we could go out sometime or something. And Kelly is listening in the whole time.
Mortified.
Yeah. And Jim hangs up, and she's like, you just asked a girl out on the phone.
On the phone, Jim!
And Jim kind of like puts his head down like, yeah, it did.
Yep, that just happened.
Absolutely hilarious. Now we go back, and Mike is at Jim's desk, all sullen. You can tell he's bitchy. Nobody wants to talk to him.
Yep.
And the phone rings. And you hear a voice in a very exaggerated lisp. Hi, I'm looking for a gay nerd named Michael Scott. And Mike's like, who is this? How'd you get this number? I got it from your mom, you gay nerd. And it's Packer. And like, as he's saying as he's saying this, they cut to Oscar, who's listening because it's on speakerphone. And Oscar's like, ugh.
Yep.
Because now we know about Oscar.
We do. The yes. audience does.
Yeah.
But nobody else in the office does.
So that disgusted look is for the audience. It's awesome. And it turns out Packer's asking him, did you get the package I sent you? And when he was talking about a package, I'm like, this is going to be a dick joke. This is right? awesome. But it turns out that the package that Packer left for Michael was the giant piece of shit in his office.
In the middle of his office.
Now Michael thinks it's hilarious. But the
best, though, is that Michael's like, no, I didn't get a package. Did anybody see a package?
Anybody else see a big package?
Yeah, and Packer goes, oh, I left it right in the middle of your office. He turns around to Roy and Daryl. Yeah. Do you guys see a big package in there? And Roy's like, the thing? Yeah. Being the thing?
And now Michael thinks it's the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, it's the best joke in the world.
I think his quote is, you have to have an advanced sense of humor to get it.
My God.
And he says it was done out of love.
Oh.
And these are good people. He completely changes his tune.
Yep.
It's hilarious. Now it's the end of the day, and Jim is like leaving. Pam left early. We saw mm-hmm. that. I forgot to mention that earlier. He was waving to her through the window, and she was getting her coat on and just left without looking at him.
Yep.
So now he gets to his desk and he sees he's got a ton of voicemails. So he picks them up and they're all from Pam. And she's talking about her day and how she did this and played Sudoku and like fucked with Michael and pretended to be working while Michael was there. And like, she's sorry she didn't see him. She left early and blah, blah, blah. And Jim's like smiling and we get to see him get in his car and drive home.
Because he gets to feel like, he feels like, okay, she missed me while she was on vacation too.
Because I was going to, I wrote it down here. My notes are a fucking mess in here. Because I did write down about Jim where, do you think he feels like his absence isn't noticed by Pam? And that was when he was going to go do lunch with them. But now at the end, he finds that he was missed.
He was absolutely missed. She was
thinking about him
her.
All day and calling him and stuff.
Yeah.
Which is kind of sweet.
It is.
Although an engaged woman who's going to get married in 6 months shouldn't do that.
Yeah, probably not.
So that's the end of the carpet. But that's her work
friend. I mean,
it's more than just a friend after last episode when her eyes lit up when Michael told her, yes, that was Achilles' squeak toy, everyone. That's the first one of this episode and it's going to be the last because we're at the end here. But that was the end of that episode.
Yes.
What did you think?
This one, not as funny as previous.
The previous episode? The secret?
Yeah.
What? I thought this was infinitely more funny.
This one was funny at the end when you found out it was Packer, but Michael being a vindictive child wasn't
but
funny.
But I liked him fucking with accounting and like running over and dumping the shit. And the way like they were talking about the poop and everything and everybody did their talking head. Like, I thought it was kind of funny.
The hate crime line was awesome. I did like more Kelly.
I got that here, man. More Kelly.
I did enjoy more Kelly. I would say this one's probably like a 3.4 for me.
Oof, 4.5.
Wow.
Loved this episode. This is awesome. This is like my third favorite episode so far. I loved
it. Shit.
I thought it was great from beginning to end. It was awesome. Because you got character stuff and you got awesome comedy. And I got Todd F. Packer. It was awesome.
Todd F. Packer.
So, what did you think about Mike's dilemma about separating friendship from being a boss and all that jazz? Do you think...
There's a point as a manager where you have to be friendly with your direct reports because you do need them to help you out.
Look at you dropping the lingo, direct reports.
Because you can't get the job done without these people, so they have to feel appreciated.
Uh-huh.
But at the same time, but you can't actually be friends with them because they need to respect you. And if you have to put them on like a disciplinary action, a write-up or something like that, they're not going to take it seriously if you're just always buddy-buddy. Now, do I have friends that used to be my direct reports? Absolutely.
Uh-huh.
But...
So you weren't friendly at the time.
I was professional, and I was probably more lax.
Did you guys ever hang out outside of work?
No.
Oh, you drew that line.
Yes, I absolutely drew that line. After I was no longer their manager,
okay,
then they would add me on Facebook. I would go to like baby showers and stuff like that. But
as they would listen to the podcast.
Yeah, exactly. As a manager, though, I did distance myself just because I couldn't have somebody saying, accusing me of special treatment.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So.
Oh, that's smart. I get that. Did you like Ed Truck's character? And did you like the way that he apparently affected Michael so negatively?
I mean, Ed Truck was probably the same manager I was, where I kept at my distance personally from these people, because you can't be friends with them. Mm-hmm. Friendly, but not friends. Mm-hmm. You have to have a life outside of the work people you work with.
This is the first time. What I liked about it is this is the first time that we got a glimpse into Michael's past that explains partially why he is the way he is
at
this
point. Yeah, why he's so fucked up.
Yeah. Like, we don't know anything about his personal life or his upbringing or anything like that, but as a professional...
Except he does call his mommy.
Yeah, he calls his mom and Pam chats with her.
Yes.
But, like, this is the first time that we got a glimpse into his past that kind of partially explains why he is a fuck-up. Like,
yeah,
a bad manager.
He didn't like having somebody who was a strong manager.
Yeah.
So he wanted to be the opposite of it.
It's like a kid who grows up hating his dad. Kind of cats in the cradle situation. Yep. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So, okay. The next thing I have in here is Kelly! With exclamation points. Because yes. I fucking loved Kelly in this episode.
She was amazing.
Ball of fucking fire. Just energy out the ass. She's awesome. And the thing is, now this is what we talked about with Oscar in the last one. These are becoming multi-dimensional characters.
Yes. We are just getting background noise.
Yes,
anymore.
We're getting more from them. We understand kind of what they are, who they're supposed to convey and all that. And Kelly as like the fast-talking, youthful valley girl in the office is an awesome addition because it's so different from everybody else.
Yeah.
Like everybody else so far
is very like...
Dialed down.
Beige?
Beige. Yeah, beige like, is actually
boring.
Pretty good. Yeah.
Like...
So far, yeah. The only one I'd say that isn't is Angela. Even though, no, she's not boring because she's interesting to watch. And
no, I don't mean that, but I mean, she's like a prude.
How they present themselves?
Yeah.
How everybody's kind of like, hey.
Well, if you think about it, everybody's Meredith and Kelly are the fucking colorful parts of this office. Everybody else is in very muted colors
like
all the time.
Hey.
Toby is the human equivalent to the color beige.
Oh, he's basically a breathing paper bag.
Yes.
He really is. So the development of Kelly, because it was last episode too, when she's like, Pam, oh my God, I want to be your bridesmaid and all that. Like, just awesome.
She, like you said, the evolution from season one, episode two, cultural diversity, to now is astounding.
Oh, it's awesome.
I love how they've rounded out this character.
And another thing I liked is that everyone seemed to have a talking head in this one, because they're all denying that they shit in Michael's room.
Nobody
a lot of people had one. And also, more of a glimpse into Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Both episodes, because the last one where he did that one where he's like, no one would notice if I was gone. And he's like, I could steal away in the night. And then this one where he pretty much tells you, like, yeah, I'll fuck Kelly.
Yeah.
That's pretty much
you
it.
You like a little junk in the trunk. She's nice.
Ryan's fun. And also, okay, one last thing to wrap this one up, I think. Now that potentially four, because I'm going to include Michael and Jan. Four romances,
within
this office.
Yeah.
With Dwight and Angela, Jim and Pam, Mike and Jan, and Ryan and Kelly, perhaps.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think that's too much? Do you think all these people were not doing anything before the camera showed up, and then all of a sudden, 6 months later...
Well, Ryan also showed up the same day as the cameras.
True. Okay. But...
We also don't know that Dwight and Angela were not doing things before the camera showed up.
Very true.
They are very secretive. And it's pretty apparent from Phyllis's comment at Jim's barbecue that, you know, Jim and Pam have been a topic of conversation
Oh,
before.
Everybody knows. Yeah, I guess so.
So it's not so much like, you know, did they do it for the camera? I think it's now just being...
Do you think it makes...
Highlighted. Okay, because say you're in an office and you don't really notice things, right?
Let me rephrase.
If somebody's pointing a camera at Jim and Pam and like switching off from one another, you're going to be like, wow, they're doing that a lot.
Okay. Well, okay, let me rephrase it this way. Do you think it makes the characters look weak that all these people can only find mates at work in a very, like, what is there? 13, 12 people total?
14, I think 14? Is what the number was.
14 total? So 14 people, and they're only finding each... Like, it implies that they don't have outside lives, or they have trouble meeting people outside. Like, does it make the characters look weak that they're...
I can say that Pam and Roy were high school sweethearts.
Okay.
So they just got
Oh, that's
done.
Another, you know, I didn't even include that. That's an actual fucking
relationship.
Actual relationship. So that's five.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, Dwight and Angela are fucking weird.
Yeah, okay.
So, I guess that does make sense. Ryan and Kelly are a little bit...
Nothing has happened yet with them.
Yeah,
I'm just postulating,
happened. Yeah. But, like, that one kind of throws me off because Kelly seems like she's a social butterfly, and Ryan, like, they're both young.
Ryan has
said,
them
going out on the town to Backyard Ale House in Scranton.
That's right, everybody. 999 Linden Street. I actually don't know the address.
No, I don't know their address.
No, it is on Linden Street,
I believe. It is on Linden, yeah.
Backyard Ale House.
But
when you're
I mean,
a college
like,
girl who likes to wear a floral summer dress.
Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's pretty stereotypical.
And in the fall, when you like to wear leggings with your UGG boots and a Han Solo vest.
Yes! Solo vest!
I'm sorry, I digress. Continue.
So anyway, but like, I could see them going out and probably being in the same circles almost.
Yeah, yeah, I could see that.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're around the same age group.
Yeah.
Jim, I think, is just stuck on
stuck?
This one girl.
Oh, he's hung up?
I mean, because obviously Jim is attractive. He's able to get Purse Girl.
Jim's an easy
seven. But
what
I mean is he was able to get Purse Girl.
Yeah. Well,
and keep her interested enough.
The thing with Jim, though, is when you see him with these other women, like with Purse Girl. Remember how I said when she was there for that episode in season one, how like awkward, like he was acting just like the other guys, but his looks got him through because he wasn't that charming.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's calling this woman up on the phone for a date rather than like not, you know, rather than meeting her or something like that. Like he isn't the most charming guy.
No, I think he's charming, but I don't.
I think he's awkward. That's why he has trouble meeting women. Have game. No, not at all. He has. I could see that's why Jim would have trouble meeting women after.
Yeah.
But anyway. So,
but we digress.
We put a nail in it. What did you grade that one again? 3.4?
That was a 3.4 for me.
Wow. So we had some good eps this week.
We
I loved
did.
Them. I loved both of them very much. I thought they were great. So I was very happy.
No, I was very happy. Because
there's a part of me that's still waiting for like a dud.
Yeah, I know.
Like, because I keep looking over my shoulder. Oh, and another thing, like we talked about in the last one, this one was pure comedy, I thought.
Yeah.
More so than the character. I mean, you had the Jim Pam stuff, but other than that,
it was just straight up jokes.
Yeah. So I was a big fan of it.
Yeah. So now next week, if I'm remembering these episodes correctly, we have another roller coaster of fun.
Really?
It's called the next episode, episode 15, Boys and Girls.
No idea.
And number 16, Valentine's Day.
Well, I know where they're going, but I have no clue what that is, so.
So we're getting into February months within the office.
Well, you know
folks.
What happens in February?
Cupid.
Okay. I don't know. I was going to say something about my birthday, but I...
Oh, yeah. Kevin's birthday is at the end of February.
As you can see, the sibling bond is so strong in this one. I'm so sorry I said about the keto thing.
Fuck off. So anyway, guys.
Yes.
Hit us up at Brosis Podcast on Twitter. Brosis... Brother,
ah,
sister...
Ah! She did it! She fucked it up!
BrotherSisterRewatch@gmail.com. Get us with your feedback. We love to hear from you guys. You know, Kitchen Winch 45, thank you for the Twitter love. Keep on sharing us and, you know, tell your friends. We appreciate it.
Please, seriously, we love your listens. We appreciate them. But if you can get a few more ears on this, we would love it too. We want to see this podcast grow. It's something that we both enjoy doing immensely.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're brother and sister. We love spending time with each other anyway, believe it or not.
Yeah.
But this is something that we both, you know, enjoy and we love doing and we like this show and... You know, in the future, we're going to do other shows, too. So, you know, just get more people listening. We would really appreciate it. We think we have a good show here, and we think they'll all like it.
Yeah. And also, as an added bonus, since you guys have heard Achille so many times, I'll actually post a picture of him on our Twitter
we're
so
doing
you
it?
Guys can all see
we're doing it.
What this noisy, heavy-breathing little fucker looks like.
Squeak, 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 squeak. That's
it. So there's a special treat for you guys. Remember, again, follow us, Brosis Podcast, or email us, brothersisterrewatch@gmail.com.
Thank you.
Thanks so much, guys. Have a great week.